for WKU Public Radio and NPR One. I'm Lamont Jack Pearly, and this is the African American Folklorist.
My old boy from the point, but I'm from Southwest. And every now and then I get put to the test. But I can't be stopped, cause I gotta come through. Ain't got no gun, but I got my crew. Didn't come for no beef, cause I don't eat steak. I gotta play the soul food, chicken, rice, and gravy. I gotta play the soul food, chicken, rice, and gravy. I gotta play the soul food, chicken, rice, and gravy.
You just heard soul food from the legendary group Goody Mob. Soul food has many meanings, but one main meaning is it is food for the soul. This term originates in the mid-1960s when Southern cooking cornered a market in the communities of African-American migrants that migrated from the Jim Crow South. It's also called Southern food, but to me and my family, it was just called dinner. On this episode, we will dive into the traditions of African-American foodways, its meaning, and its family foodway folklore. First, let's find out what the term foodways mean. From Associate Professor and Program Director of the Folk Studies Program at WKU, Dr. Ann K. Farrell.
What is foodways is a great question. So foodways is defined differently by lots of folks in different fields of study. And the good news is lots of different fields of study are really interested in the study of foodways increasingly. Foodways is variously defined as pretty much everything to do with food, from how we procure it, you know, or gather it, to how we prepare it, consume it, and even how we clean up afterwards. So folklorists have been interested in foodways for a really long time. And as with any kind of folklore research, what often the questions that we ask are mostly about meaning. So what does food mean in people's lives? Of course, when we talk about meaning, on the one hand, we think of really positive things, like certain foods mean a sense of home. Certain foods mean nostalgia, you know, comfort. So there are a lot of really positive meanings for food. But many folklorists and others are also really interested in the idea that meaning is not always positive. Food has been and continues to be an area of exclusion as well as inclusion. So while we can think about how food may remind us of our families and our regional traditions and our ethnic traditions in really positive ways, food also has been sort of used as a symbol. If you think of things like food slurs, if you think of things like legend and rumor that are about what we think other people eat that is different from us and that makes them different from us. Even if we think about something like the idea that who you sit down and eat with or share food with suggests that you have equal respect for them, that you see sort of you and them in, you know, on an equal playing field.
In the study of foodways, you find that food, how it's prepared, the locations that it's consumed in play significant roles in social issues, economic issues, racial issues, and other monumental historic events in history.
You know, why was the lunch counter central to the civil rights movement, right? It was central because that was about Blacks not being allowed to sit at the table that whites are sitting at, right? One of the things about foodways that is most important to me is that it sort of is a way to open up almost every possible issue you can think of that we're interested in as folklorists. And again, in both positive ways and negative ways.
So it's way deeper, has a deeper meaning even than what we consider cooking with love, right? Because there's a message in foodways, the behavior of eating.
Absolutely. And I think there's been, and it's been interesting to watch in terms of pop culture in the last decade or so, the way that there's so much interest in food and cooking shows and cookbooks and COVID cookbooks, right? And so there's all this interesting stuff going on, but often it is very celebratory, right? And exclusionary in ways as well. So I like to, you know, come back to what is it as folklorists that we're interested in about food. And as folklorists, we're often interested in, you know, what is the role of tradition in whatever this thing is, right? What is it that we, when we talk about folklore, we're talking about things that we learn from people in our lives in unofficial ways. And certainly everything about food we learn, you know, growing up in our families, we learn about regional traditions. We learn about, again, ways in which we're told that others eat food differently or eat different foods from us. And that is what marks difference, right? And so food is, again, symbolically, it can be a symbol of home and nostalgia and all the wonderful, comforting things, but it can also be a symbol of, this is what makes my group different from your group, is that we eat in different ways and we eat in different things.
We also find that food can be used as a way of controlling populations, markets, and the like.
So the idea that everyone everywhere needs food to survive, obviously, right? So that makes food sort of at the political level and at the global level, certainly something that can be used as a way to get others to do what you want them to do, that food and power are very much connected, that those with access to food and healthier foods and more food and cheap food, that's aligned with power versus those, you know, whether it's a food desert in a city or in a rural place, a food desert somewhere where there is not enough access to food, right? That's about power, economic power, social power. But yes, at the sort of global level, absolutely, you know, who the United States wants to give food aid to, right, versus who we don't, is about whether they are aligning with us politically or not, more than it's about who's hungrier, right?
Thank you, Dr. Ann K. Farrell. Be sure to listen to part two of this episode as my family shares our foodways traditions. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearlie, and this is the African American Folklorist.